Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The volume.
Tip off the NBA season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $150 in free bets guaranteed. $150 when you place your first $5 bet. Plus, FanDuel's the only sportsbook gives all its customers 3 months of NBA League Pass. Cool. When they make a $5 bet, that's all in the NBA. That way you can watch all the action you bet on, everything from money line to point spreads to totals. Don't miss your chance. $150 in free bets plus 3 months of NBA League Pass. Gotta put in the promo code Colin. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 Arizona 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. Our guest for this week is an exciting one, an electrifying one. None other than, well, let me rewind. Fifth pick in the NBA draft in 2017. Brother just got a nice contract not long ago. I need a loan, so I'm already putting my call in. I know the calls really start coming in when the bag hit. I need a loan. I'm putting my ask in right now. A guy who I look at and thinks he will and should be a future all-star, and I'm looking forward to seeing that happen. Honored to have our next guest, De'Aaron Fox. What's up, my brother?
What's up, man? I appreciate you having me, dog.
Absolutely. Just before we actually started filming this, you just mentioned your new coach, Mike Brown, who I had the pleasure of playing for, I think, 6 years. Mike Brown was here. And, you know, so I understand Mike's psyche. I understand how he coached, but just for starters, how has that been adjusting to a new coach and in specifics, Mike Brown?
Well, when you got on, I just told you, I'm like, these practices have been long, but this is something that I feel like we've needed. Like I said this, I think at the end of last year, obviously knowing that we need a new coach, I'm like, we just need structure. Like we need somebody that's going to pay attention, that's going to be real attentive to every little thing. And something will be good. He'll stop and he'll nitpick. And I'm like, that's something that we needed, because you already know y'all could have a terrible game. You could win. So it's like, what did we learn? And I think that's what that's what he's brought to us, you know, from day one. It could be good, but it could always have been better.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely incredible. You know, obviously we have Mike as an assistant coach, and you could still feel his imprint on things, like imprint on drills. The drills start to go long. Very detail-oriented, but Mike B could get a little long-winded, but I love Mike B. That's my guy. But film can get long. You have to tell Mike.
We haven't had a day where film went the right amount of time. It's gone over. Every day of training camp is gone over.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. But no, I agree with you. I think, you know, to have someone that's bringing that structure to you guys, like you all have a lot of young talent, you know, and like you're just now starting to tap into your talent. You know, bringing over Sabonis, who's still a fairly young dude, Kevin Huerter, Davion Mitchell, the list goes on and on. You guys have a lot of young talent. And so I think adding that structure, and especially what he's going to bring on the defensive end. I think, you know, Mike Brown is a defensive genius. I'd have the opportunity to pick his brain, and we toss ideas back and forth. So I'm actually happy for you and for y'all moving forward, because I think it'll be a really good thing for y'all.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the most talented team I've had since I've been in the league, and it's not even close. But one of our problems has been we've been terrible defensively. And like, we know it, you know it, everybody knows it. We've been horrible. So to bring in somebody like that is definitely gonna help us and just push me personally to be a better defender. Like I know I can be it, and he knows I can be it.
Absolutely. Now that's incredible. At the deadline last year, you guys made a few trades, but obviously the big one being bringing in Sabonis. And I think, you know, that was a great value add for you guys with just what he brings to the table on a nightly basis. I think it's incredible. And like I said, still a fairly young guy. Mm-hmm. What did that message send to you as the franchise guard? What were y'all able to find, like, chemistry amongst you two towards those last couple months of the season that y'all got to play together?
Yeah, I mean, when the trade happened, obviously everybody's talking about, you know, the me and Tyrese dynamic, you know, who's picking, blah, blah. And when the trade happened, for one, he told me, and I was like, yo, you lying. I'm like, yo, they didn't trade you. And then Woj was tweeted like 2 minutes later. I'm like, wow, we really did that. But obviously seeing that we got Domas back, I'm like, every time we done matched up with bro, he's 20 and 15 every time we played him. So I'm like, I'm excited to play with him. But for me, just playing with somebody, and hell, Steph and Clay can attribute that to playing with you. Having a big that can pass the ball the way that y'all pass the ball is, it opens up the world. And I mean, I was shooting like 38% from three since we got him. So he's just helped expand my game tremendously. And having a big like that and then getting shooters around him, I think it makes our team so much better. And it's
absolutely
it's fun playing with guys that can pass the ball like that. Pass the ball out of the high post, pass it out of the low post, pass it out the top of the key. He can grab a rebound and go. Like, it's, ask Steph or anybody, man, they have fun playing with people like that.
Absolutely. No doubt, man. Definitely. And I think, you know, I want to ask a question also along the same lines of the trade. What message did it send to you from the organization that they decided to trade Tyrese? Because I know there was, you know, once they drafted Tyrese, there was like this thing of like, oh, are they planning for Tyrese to be their franchise point guard moving forward? Like, how does this work? And then a year into him being there, or a year and a half or whatever it was, he gets traded. And in my opinion, I think that sends a clear-cut message.
For me, it's like, yo, they believe in me. But two, it's like, motherfucker, we just traded somebody who can be a franchise point guard either here or somewhere else. So you better get on your shit and you better start winning. Like, so it's like, does it add pressure? Yeah, a little bit. But at the end of the day, I've been trying to, you know, get us into the playoffs for years. So it's a little added pressure. Ain't ever hurt nobody.
Absolutely. And speaking of the playoffs, I know everybody make this big deal of like playoff drought. And obviously you guys having the longest playoff drought. Question I want to ask you, because I think, you know, I catch a lot of flack from people. Not a lot of flack, because flack wouldn't be the right word. But from time to time, I get people telling me like, "Oh man, you wouldn't be nothing if you weren't on the Warriors," or like, "Your success is predicated on the Warriors." And you know, it's funny to me because the Warriors didn't have success before I got here. So the whole notion of, I didn't go to the Los Angeles Lakers or like the Boston Celtics or somewhere that like had success. Before I got to the Warriors, they won 23 games the year before. So I always laugh at that notion. And saying that, you know, people would always just speak about Warriors basketball of the past before we got here, which wasn't very successful. I think before we made the playoffs in 2012, that, you know, or 2012-13 season, that was the second time in 20 years the Warriors had made the playoffs. And so, you know, people would be holding on to that and almost make you feel like as a player that's your burden, you know, like it's your fault. And I wanted to ask, like, do you feel some of that burden being a franchise guy of the longest drought, or do you just feel the burden of since I've been here?
I mean, I want to say since I've been here, but every time you see a little Instagram post, yo, the Sacramento Kings ain't been there for 16 years. I'm the face that's on it. Like, I've been in the league for 16 years or something. So now you definitely feel the burden of the 16 years rather than just the 5 that I've been here. But man, you walk around and you talk to any Kings fan, first thing they're gonna bring up is 0-1-0-2. So I'm just trying to be able to get back to that so that now you're bringing up, you know, 22-23 or whatever it may be, rather than we talking about something that happened 20 years ago. Like, if the Kings fan is over 30 years old, that they're going to bring up that Lakers series or that year at 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not saying I'm getting tired of hearing it, but I'm getting tired of hearing it.
So you going to change that?
Yeah. That's the goal. That's the goal since I've been here. Like, I told people, even with the draft, like, I kind of knew where I was going. So Philly had just traded for the first pick after I worked out for them. So they wanted Markel, Boston. LA, the Lonzo thing, the whole connection, knew he was going there. Knew Boston was going to take JT. And then next was Phoenix. And Phoenix at the time had just gave, they just gave Brandon Knight like $80 million. Uh-huh. Eric Bledsoe was on a crazy deal. So I'm like, I was supposed to have a workout for him. I'm like, shit, should I work out for them? Like, y'all got 150 M's going to 2 point guards. So I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I cancel my workout, fly back to Houston for a little bit, take a little break because I was in LA working out and stuff. And then I had in Sacramento was number 5. So I'm like, that's where I'm going. Like, that's where I want to go. I know about the history that at the time it had been 11 years. I'm like, I can go there and change something. So like, I knew that's where my destiny lied.
And so you canceled your workout in Phoenix because they had 2 point guards. So I have a question.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season 1, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season 2 because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search
to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just a follow-up on that. And looking back on that and knowing how it played out with Brandon Knight in Phoenix, how it played out with Eric Bledsoe in Phoenix, do you ever look back on that with any regret and say, you know, had I went through with the workout, I probably still could have been the point guard of the future there with a backcourt mate like Devin Booker. Do you ever look back at that, or do you kind of just keep it?
I'll for sure look back at it and like, I probably could have worked, because that's the year that Bled had tweeted, yo, I don't want to be here no more. So they traded both of them. My rookie year, traded both of them. And even that year, I didn't think about it, but like 3-4 years later, I'm like, that actually, me and Book would have been a nice backcourt. So I've definitely thought about it before. 1,000%.
That's absolutely amazing. And just circling back, we were speaking on the draft. You guys drafted Keegan Murray, who has been impressive. What has been your thoughts of the young fella out of Iowa? And what do you think his potential is?
Man, it's crazy how good he is. But he also has that like Tim Duncan demeanor. Like every day I see him, like, yo, what's up, Rook? Like, what's up, Fox? I'm like, come on, dog. You gotta give me something. You just give me something. But like, he doesn't. He comes in, man. He's the most efficient guy I've ever been around. Like, you look over, if he's just shooting, he's not missing. Then we played pickup a little bit before training camp. He doesn't miss. He doesn't have any wasted motion. Like, everything he does is just efficient. Defensively, offensively, grabbing rebounds, boxing out. He kind of really just makes the game look easy. And if he has some facial hair, I would have thought bro was like in his 30s, but he 21, 20, I think he just turned 22, and he walks around and like the demeanor is just always calm, and he's going to be really good. Like, he's going to show the world what he can do.
That's incredible to hear. And I think for our listeners out there, I think one thing that you should take away from that and really understand is, if he had facial hair, I think he was 30 years old, because that's saying a lot. And, you know, one reason, and you know this well, Fox, one reason guys come in the league and struggle is not necessarily from the offensive end. Most guys can't pick up the defensive end. They can't pick up the rotations. They can't pick up, you know, when a guy should be S-ing out, or, you know, when you're bottom low man, or the communication and getting a pick or switching pick and roll coverages, yeah, based on who the people are in the, you know, in the pick and roll action. People
especially
don't understand
when everything
that
is just like somebody might not be fast in terms of like speed getting up and down the court, but in that half court, everything moving like that. And mm-hmm. I think that's for sure where people come in this league and start to struggle.
Absolutely. So that's really saying a lot, you know, and that's, you know, I got high expectations for the young fella. I obviously being a Big Ten guy, watch him against my Spartans quite a bit over the last couple of years. So I got high expectations for him and the way he's shooting the ball with the way the league has turned to guys stepping out and shooting it. Y'all running pin downs for him, different stuff like that. Like for most four men have to chase a pin down.
Yeah, it's not territory that you used to being in.
Absolutely. And so I think that's going to be really cool to see that develop, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
When you look at your game, as a basketball fan, like who do you model your game after?
You know, coming in, I remember in high school, everybody used to tell me Nick Van Exel, right? So I'm like, I'm young at this time. I'm like, yo, I don't know who's Nick the Quick. So I started looking up highlights. I'm like, you know what? Like I do kind of move like him when I'm coming up. And so I kind of started watching more film on him, little film on like John when he was younger, like how he got to the basket, how he was playmaking. And then a lot of like young CP and Tony Parker. I started watching a lot of those guys.
Okay. And
Chris Paul in New Orleans to me, like, so I'm from New Orleans. So I watched him growing up a little bit. Going back and watching, obviously, from the way he plays now and the way that he was playing in New Orleans, it's like night and day. It was, mm-hmm. I still, even before games, I still watch a lot of film on a young CP.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive.
In New Orleans, man, with those series that he had and with San Antonio and stuff like that, yeah, dude was amazing. He was actually amazing.
Absolutely. I spoke about you being the fifth pick in the 2017 draft, and I wanted to ask you a question. I know Lonzo, like you said, Lonzo was drafted before you. Obviously, JT was drafted before you. Markelle Fultz.
And then
y'all have Mark. And okay, so here's my question. I know when I look back on early on my career, I think about the young guys, and you actually just mentioned one that I'm about to speak on. I think Brandon Knight was a year before me in the NBA draft. I'm certain he was, actually. Kyrie Irving would destroy Brandon Knight every time they played. And I had a relationship with Kyrie. Kyrie was still, like, didn't like Brandon Knight because everybody thought that they were better than him in high school. So every time he played Brandon Knight in the NBA, he destroyed him. Like, if you think back to the rookie sophomore
the rising star,
playing in, you remember Kyrie made him fall.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going all the way back to high school. And what I wanted to ask you is, do you feel a personal rivalry with those guys that were drafted before you, especially the guards? Do you feel, you know, Lonzo, Markelle Fultz, not necessarily Josh Jackson, not necessarily JT as they are wings, but against those guards that were drafted before you, where you're like, I probably should have been a number one pick. I'm a point guard. If y'all were looking for a point guard, it's me.
Yeah.
Do you feel that rivalry still when you play those guys or not really?
Not really. I think the only person that like it would have been a rivalry per se would have been Zoe. And that's only because we played each other twice in college. Like I never played JT. I never played Markelle. And then obviously when we were coming out, you know, Zoe's pops was, you know, he was loud at the time. Like, obviously, he's calmed down, but he got three sons in the league now. But, like, he was loud at the time, so everybody was turning it into something that it wasn't. Like, me and Zoe was cool because we had been to camps together. We had been to the draft. Like, we did a lot of stuff together. Obviously, when we step on the court, like, it ain't no brother shit. Like, it's all competing. But off the Absolutely. Court, you know, it was never like that. But that would have been the only guy. And then we were in the same division. Like we both got drafted to Pacific. So we was playing each other four times a year. So that would have been the only one that would have been. But even then, it kind of never really, to me, it was never really a rivalry. Mm-hmm. But to some people, you know, they try to, you know, Kentucky, UCLA, Kings, Lakers, it was supposed to be something like that. But it never really was. And then Kel was hurt for a while. So I probably only played Kel probably two or three times in my career right now.
Wow. So were you and Lonzo never really a rivalry because you just felt like, nah, like I'm better and it's not a rivalry? Or was it?
I mean,
just not
I think we had such different games that it was never really a like go at somebody. It's like me, like whoever it is on me, I'm trying to get 40. And right. If you got help, I'm gonna kick it. But Zoe is, I'm gonna get my guys off first. And then, you know,
absolutely,
my offense comes as it comes. So I never really, like, we never had like the same mentality. So it was never kind of a thing like that.
I know you got married this summer. Congratulations,
hey,
number one.
I see
one.
That ring on yours too. mine's not on right now. I had to get it fixed.
I can dig that. I'm still getting used to wearing this ring all the time, man. It takes some getting used to for sure.
Yeah.
But congratulations on that, number one. Number two, just like, how do you feel? Like, I think that's a huge step in life, and you and your wife has taken that step. Just how do you feel? Like, what feelings did that bring over you?
It was great. Well, one, like, y'all actually, because Rasay worked for y'all for a year, but it was probably the best day of my life. You see, I can't stop smiling. It was great. Like, we've been together for a while. And I mean, she was a wife to me. She's always making sure I'm good before anything else. She played basketball at a high level too. So it's like, I got another coach in my ear, but when I come home after a bad game or something, she's not going to say nothing because she's been through it. She's a coach's kid. But it's great, man. Like, I feel like there's not many better things than getting married, especially getting married to the person that you feel like you're going to be with forever. So
the look on your face says everything, brother. it says everything, and that's amazing to see. I love, you know, just to see people find their person. You know, you go through this life, and it's, you know, it's, you know, for every good that it gives, there's some negatives as well, you know. And
yeah,
I think people
sure.
always think like, oh, it's just positive this, positive that, but to have someone to like go through everything with, I think that's absolutely incredible. And I've heard, and you just said it, you know, your wife hooped. I've heard about, like, you know, she go to your workouts with you, she'll get on the court with you. Like, how is that sharing and that, and knowing that, like, y'all both have an equal passion for the game of basketball?
Yeah and until everything like is official, like during the season, like, she's here. I'm like, if we got a optional workout or something, like, she's coming. Cause for one, it's the summertime and this is the most time we get to really spend together. So we do everything together, workout. She's in the gym getting shots up. Hell, she'll be like, yo, let's go to the gym on Sunday night. Let's get 100 makes or whatever it is. So just having her there, like, I've gotten better as a, not only a man, but as a basketball player since we've been together. So it's like having another coach with me, like, all the time.
That's incredible, man. I'm happy to hear that. Just looking forward to this season. What are some of your goals moving forward? Like, what do you think is next for you in your career? The next thing that you need to prove moving forward, other than obviously, you know, making the playoffs?
Man, for me personally, it stems to shooting the ball. Like, whenever I've shot the ball well, the team has done better, because now you might have to take an extra step up, and an extra step up guard me is probably, it's a wrap. So just being able to shoot the ball, I think, unlocks so much for this team. We'll have shooters everywhere around Domas. Like, I think it turns us into an entirely different team. If I'm shooting the ball the way I want to shoot the ball. And for me, like, it's a lot of film. Like, I've shot the ball well in practice. Now it's like, do that shit in the game. And like, it's, I don't want to say it's a mental thing for me, but like, I shoot the hell out of the ball in practice, shoot the hell out of the ball in workouts, all of our live play. Now it's just getting to that level of consistency in the game. And like, consistency is the biggest word for any professional athlete, really.
If anybody understand that, brother, it's me. I think, you know, I've had it in my career where I shot the lights out of the ball, and, you know, and then really once KD came here, it was kind of like, yo, I need to get these guys involved. And I stopped looking to shoot, you know. And then once I stopped looking to shoot, the rhythm of it was messed up. Then you start to lose confidence in it. And getting that confidence in that shot in a game is a totally different thing. I always tell guys, like, No, you come in the gym with me. You come in this Warriors gym, it's two guys who are going to outshoot me. That's Steph and Klay. Ain't nobody else outshooting me. But making that translate to the game is a different thing. You know what I'm saying? So I 100% understand that.
You know, and then from that standpoint too, like, to be a winner, for me, like, the way I've looked at it over the years is your point guard has to be able to shoot the ball. I'm like, what's the last team that's won a championship and the point guard wasn't a really good shooter? Like, you probably going back to, like, what, 2013, whenever the Spurs won? Was it 13? Mm-hmm. 14, one of those years. When the Spurs won, when it was TP.
14.
Like, that's the last time. Because then it was Steph, Kyrie, Drew can shoot the ball. Like, all these guys, all you to win at a high level as a point guard, you have to be able to shoot the ball. And that's why, for me, like, that's the biggest, most important thing.
And I think even when you look at Tony Parker, the game was so different then, where three-point wasn't really a prevalent shot or wasn't really a shot that people were hunting. And Tony Parker, mid-range was deadly.
Fire. The mid-range.
And that was a big shot then. Yeah. Absolutely.
And obviously, like, you know, in the playoffs, you have to be able to get to a mid-range shot because teams are going to start taking away your first, second, third option. So you have to be
able they are.
Which I think I can – I'm a good mid-range shooter. Yes, I can get to the basket at the blink of an eye. So now that next step is being able to extend my range. And it's not like I have to shoot 40%. It's really just being 35, 30, like just being respectable from three. And I think that opens up the world for us.
It definitely will, because nobody can stay in front of you, you know, and with your speed and just being willing to knock that shot down. Like, oh, I know he's willing to take that and he can knock it down. It's going to change the game for you. It's going to open the floor for your teammates. And I look forward to seeing you do that. I'm rooting for you, brother, always. Ever need something from me, got a question for me, I'm here. And I'm really rooting for y'all because Mike Brown is my guy. And I want to see Mike do well. I know you and Luke has built a great relationship. Luke was here with us. So you got some good guys on your side, brother. And I hope, you know, that it can turn for y'all. I think it will. This is a big year for you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you take that next step. You should 100% be an all-star. If you're not an all-star, that shit is on you. That ain't on nobody else. With your talent, with your skill, if you're not an all-star this year, that ain't on nobody else but you, because you are that damn good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that's respect, man. Everybody, like, I'm like, yo, I love Dre. Because one, he gonna spit the real. But, like, it's always going to be respect at the end of the day. And absolutely, we all know, like, this is a brotherhood. Guys going to get into it. But once we step off the court, you know, that shit is done. That shit absolutely is done. And we all brothers. So I really appreciate that.
Absolutely, bro. I'll see you soon, man. As you know, we play four times a year. I'm looking forward to seeing you. But I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Doc.
All right. Peace.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.